Hello, it's Monday the 1st of February. I'm Rob Watson and this is a Leicester Sound Walk. And today I'm taking it easy. It's not too... not much thinking and planning in this one. I'm starting off sitting at the junction at the bottom of Millstone Lane over Southgate, overlooking the DMU campus. And behind me I'm going to walk up into town and just have a mooch around, which is one of my favourite pastimes. And there's a lot of building work going on in Leicester at the moment, so I'm wondering if capturing some of the sounds of some of the work. What's interesting, the junction here is part of the inner ring road and it's always quite busy. There's always an awful lot of traffic. It was only in the first lockdown, I think it was March and April, that you really got a sense that it was quiet and it was, the traffic was much reduced. But people are kind of funneled through to the underpass at St Nicholas Way, and the cars are kind of a constant presence. And one thing that we might note in the coming years is that this sound of petrol engines is going to be petrol and diesel engines. The internal combustion engine is going to be less prominent within our cities as newer vehicles, electric cars and other alternative modes of transport are introduced and become more accessible and become more regular a part of our daily lives and routines rather than simply driving everywhere. But it's notable that anywhere that you really go to in Leicester is kind of surrounded by the noise of traffic in one way or the other. And I suppose it's a historical artifact to capture the sounds of the traffic and certain types of noises of vehicles and the engagement that they have with the road itself, the noise that that makes. So while it might not feel that this is a desirable thing that we should keep a historical record of, actually, the more we get out and capture some of these things, we start to notice what's around us, and maybe we will notice some of the changes that come in over time. And noise pollution has to be included within any discussions and debates that we have about environmental sustainability and low carbon futures, because noise is a constant presence in our lives, often to much to our detriment. Some people notice it, some people don't. I'm kind of quite attuned to it, but that's the point of doing a sound walk, I suppose. I'm walking up Millstone Road, which is the Greyfriars area in Leicester, which was refurbished, a special project to reconnect it back with the city, make it a little bit more desirable to walk through, part of the thoroughfares that connect the city. I think what people forget is that Leicester city centre was actually quite an intense area of commerce and trade, and that the modern use of apartments and offices is actually only something quite recent, and it's taken some time to adapt the city. But you see the buildings that are around, which are now quite desirable in terms of converted apartments, and the gentrification of what was formerly an industrial town, with a few rather well-appointed buildings in the centre, like the town hall and the trade, the banks, that kind of thing. But really clustered around this was lots of small hosiery factories, engineering works, warehouses and places of industry. I've just come to Pocklington's Walk, which is where the Leicester Magistrates Courts are based. And behind me you can hear the roadworks where the pavement and the road are being pedestrianised and made more attractive for people on bicycles and a lower traffic volume area. Is that the right phrase? And the work's been ongoing for the last few weeks. And again, it's like a kind of, you know, we, this kind of work in a city is on an ongoing basis, and we don't capture how it sounds. So Pocklington's Walk is where the registry office used to be, and it was the building in front of me, which you can see, which has a handy street guide, which is one of the, I didn't think I'd appreciate these things when they first popped up around Leicester, but I do now. The combined Poor Law and Registry Office, before this building opened in 1883, help for Leicester's poor was administered from offices in different parts of the town. These offices were centralised into one building and combined with the registry office, which recorded births and deaths and offered marriage ceremonies. And there's 8 separate entrances serving the different office buildings, with the main one located in the centre of the building. Maybe in a kind of, an echo of the situation we're in today with things like food banks. The Poor Law was administered by the Poor Lord Guardians, and they were an elected bodies that oversaw workhouses, poor relief and homes for orphan children. The rules for poor relief, which often involved hard labour in the workhouse, were so harsh, few would seek help unless they were desperate. In 1921, about 1,000 of Leicester's unemployed marched to the Poor Law office in Rupert Street to demand food and work. A stone was thrown at a window, and 40 to 50 police rushed out to mount a baton charge. Stood outside Firebug, which has been closed right the way throughout the lockdown, so probably nearly a year now, and this part of town, the top of Millstone Lane, is probably more famous now. Most people know it now because there's a branch of McDonald's there. But behind me, again, there's more roadworks, which are part of the Connecting Leicester Communities network of environmental improvements. And today it looks like there's a digger that's making some progress on taking out some of the old concrete that underpins the pavement. Stood by Marketplace South and Hotel Street, which is where the Leicester City rooms, not Leicester City, as in the football club, as in the city. And the city rooms are formerly known as the assembly rooms. They're kind of a hotel that was never built. It's a Georgian building that was completed in 1800 and was originally intended to be Leicester's first hotel, which is how Hotel Street got its name. But the developer ran out of money, so the building was completed by public subscription by a group of gentlemen. It was opened as assembly rooms in time for the annual gathering of the aristocracy and gentry at Leicester Races in September 1800, with an abundance of beauty and fashion. Not sure what the gentleman knew about beauty and fashion. In 1870, the assembly rooms were sold for use as a judge's lodging during the local courts of assizes and as a records repository. And then from the late 18 onwards, ownership of the building passed to the new Leicestershire County Council, and then in 1986 transferred to the City Council, then acquiring its current name of the City Rooms. The rooms were refurbished and restored in 2006, and it's bookable for functions and as a boutique hotel. But as you can hear, the sound of the drilling is quite prominent. And just a short stroll from the City Rooms is the new Leicester Market Square, which is part of the redeveloped back end behind the Corn Exchange, which was a space that was created by the demolition of the old 1960s, 70s Leicester Market building. And that was removed about five or six years ago to make, and it's been allocated as a public space, a public square, with some at Christmas in previous years, not last Christmas, but there's been a grotto installed. And the council has purchased or owned several adjacent buildings, which it's demolished to make way for so people can use this part of the city. Leicester's odd in a way that the city centre, a lot of people use Market Street and Gallatory Gate, and then they don't come through onto roads like Silver Street. They tend to stick to the main thoroughfares with the big brand shops. So venturing around the back streets, which I always think is the more interesting part of a city, is less immediate for some people. But actually, it's got the kind of what they call Silver Street, St Martin's Square. They're all pretty, lots of small shops, boutique shops, cafes, and it on a nice warm sunny day, it's quite a pleasant space. But there is a kind of need for the High Cross Centre kind of dominates the city, and it's like in many places, it's sucked up the footfall, the pedestrian traffic. So other parts, if you travel over to Beaver Street and High Street, they're less well used as they used to be. And I remember when I first arrived in Leicester, Beaver Street was quite a posh street with some upmarket shops on there, tailors, jewellery stores, bookshops. That kind of vanished over the last 10 years and has been replaced by bars, some of which have had their licences rescinded, and by empty shops now. And a lot of our city centres now are struggling to repurpose. We've maybe shifted permanently to home deliveries and buying things online, rather than wandering around shops. And with the rise and the endless rise of out of town shopping centres where people can drive to them more conveniently, our city centres are in danger of becoming destitute, I suppose, is not a too strong a word to use, and that the gaps are harder to fill in, and the market and the money that would sustain a business, it's maybe easier sometimes to just shift an entire retail operation online rather than have a physical shop. And I think it's maybe something we need to address. And I know the BID, the Business Improvement District organisation in Leicester, is working to develop alternatives and to support and promote people to shop locally and to shop in person. And hence the kind of environmental and street improvements which are aimed at making the public spaces a bit more human and places where you can relax. And actually the Market Square, the new Market Square, on a hot sunny day is quite a pleasant place to come and sit and have a coffee, an outdoor coffee or a sandwich, and to just relax. Does Leicester Market need any introduction in terms of how it sounds? Over the years when I've taught media and radio production courses, the first thing that you do when students come to Leicester is send them out to Leicester Market with a digital recorder and capture the sounds of the marketplace. I think it's one of the most memorable and unique features of the city. Not always the most agreeable, but certainly one of the most memorable and distinctive. It's not one of the busiest days on the market today. It's a Monday. A lot of the stalls are empty because they're non-essential. There's a clause in the market traders' contracts that the fruit and veg sellers have to be open every day other than bank holidays and Sundays. So for them, it's like the market doesn't close even during the lockdown. They're an essential service. When I first moved to Leicester, it's quite a common thing I say in these sound walks, is that every stall was fruit and vegetables. With the demolition of the indoor market, a lot of the space that was formerly used by clothes shops and by, you know, people selling foam for bedding and cushions, that kind of thing, haberdashery, that was kind of shifted into the marketplace. So there's actually less fruit and veg available on the marketplace than there used to be 10, 20 years ago. But the council have been awarded some funding to refurbish the marketplace, and there's some work that's kind of gradually taken place to restore and upgrade the covering. It's Europe's largest covered market, and it used to house 60 60 odd stalls. And the interesting, you know, it's always busy, and the interesting time to come is often at the end of the day when fruit and vegetables are being marked down very cheaply because the stall holders need to get rid of them. So I'm stood at the clock tower, which most people I know who are from Leicester regard as the city centre, or the heart of the city. If you want to meet somebody and you're not quite sure where they're asking you to meet, everybody knows where the clock tower is. And it's one of those kind of iconic landmarks that people don't necessarily understand why it's there. But handily, there is in Leicester this series of boards around the city that tell the story, and the clock tower was built originally as a solution to traffic congestion, which was on the site of the town's former hay and straw market, hence the name Haymarket, where horse-drawn vehicles converged on the area from six different streets, causing chaos. So it was decided that the Haymarket Memorial Clock Tower would be constructed as the first traffic island in the kingdom. I didn't quite realise it had that claim to fame. It was designed by a local architect, Joseph Goddard, and a bottle containing coins, newspapers and the names of the town's corporation was placed beneath the topmost stone when the construction was finished in 1868. In 1903, tram lines were laid around the clock tower and the system of junctions was the most complicated in Britain. Some have said that Leicester's not really a town that's suitable for trams. The evidence is that it was built on trams, and maybe one day again we'll see a reintegration of trams in the city and to reduce some of the dependence on noisy and polluting cars. A memorial is to Leicester's most famous benefactors. I'm not sure if benefactors is the right word with some of the people who are described in this, but there's a memorial to famous figures who are associated with Leicester. Simon de Montfort, statues placed around the base of the clock tower. Simon de Montfort, who was the Earl of Leicester in 1239. William Wigston, who was a wealthy wool merchant, in 1513 founded Wigston's Hospital for the Poor. Sir Thomas White, who established a trust fund in 1542 known as the Town Hundred, which helped many local young men start up in business. And then Alderman Gabriel Newton set up a trust for the education, clothing and apprenticing of boys. And the former Alderman Newton School is now the King Richard III Visitor Centre. When I first came to Leicester, buses came through this area up from what used to be Lewis's, where the kind of Barclays Bank is now, and they travelled up Market Street and what is now past the High Cross Shopping Centre, what used to be called the Shires Shopping Centre. And interestingly, the buses used to finish about 5:30 in the evening, and as I used to work in shops on a part-time basis, you'd be working till 6:30 in the evening, and the next bus would be 7:30. So Leicester was really a kind of provincial market town just 20 years ago. Now it's starting to feel more like or grow into being more like a city. One of the things that if you come to Leicester you'll notice is if you just stand still in the city centre, you know, the number, the variety of people from different backgrounds with different different languages spoken from different communities is incredible. And in some future sound walks I'll try and capture some of the range of those conversations and to look, you know, kind of think about the kind of range of voices that are being spoken. It really is, you know, the centre of Leicester is a true definition of the term a mixing pot, and it can be overwhelming at times, but it's also, it's, you know, one of Leicester's strengths is its diversity. The area of the pedestrianised zone, the pedestrianised area around the clock tower was I think it was back in the early noughties, it was pedestrianised and some concrete, some stone pavements were put down, but they've not endured very well. So the council is at the moment is replacing them, and there's again there's further building work going on with more pedestrianisation of the Haymarket Street, which I think will make, and the Gallatree Gate, I think it will make a huge church gate going down towards the St Margaret's bus station, where I'll head to soon, will make a big difference to again the kind of pleasantness, and you know, the lack of traffic in the city centre now is complete contrast to how it was. If you look back at photographs of Leicester in the, I suppose, in the 50s, 60s and 70s, the area around the clock tower itself was buses and cars. The trams, I think, were taken out in the 1960s. But it really is now an increasingly pedestrianised area. And I know that the model of, which is common to a lot of cities now, is to include you know, wildlife areas and more tree planting and make it a more greener space within the city. So if you want to take part in one of these sound walks, just have a mooch around, walk about the city. It's quite a noisy day today, but we can walk in different places and appreciate a different kind of soundscape along the river, through the parks, through the shopping centres, wherever feels more comfortable. Give us a shout. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, robwatsonmedia.net, or you can email me rob@robwatsonmedia.net. We can arrange to meet up, bring a coffee or a tea. We'll make sure that we're suitably socially distant, and we'll capture some thoughts and listen to the world that's about us. So I've arrived at my destination, which is the St Margaret's bus station, which is being demolished to make way for a new and improved travel interchange. And you'll be able to walk from Leicester station continuously through to the new St Margaret's bus station uninterrupted. And it'll have better shops and toilets than we were used to in the old bus station.